The last threat that joined them to the world was broken on the 6th month of pregnancy, when they received a letter that obviously was not from the wise Catalonian. It had been mailed in Barcelona, but the envelope was addressed in conventional blue ink by an official hand, and it had the innocent and impersonal look of hostile messages. Aureliano snatched it out of Amaranta Ursula's hands as she was about to open it. "Not this one," he told her. "I don't want to know what it says." Just as he had sensed, the wise Catalonian did not write again. The stranger's letter, which no one read, was left to the mercy of the moths on the shelf where Fernanda had forgotten her wedding ring on occasion, and there it remained, consuming itself in the inner fire of its bad news, as the solitary lovers sailed against the tide of those days of the last stages, those impenitent and ill-fated times, which were squandered on the useless effort of making them drift toward the desert of disenchantment and oblivion. Aware of that menace, Aureliano and Amaranta Ursula spent the last months holding hands, ending with the love of loyalty for the child who had his beginning in the madness of fornication. At night, holding each other in bed, they were not frightened by the sublunary explosions of the ants, or the noise of the moths, or the constant and clean whistle of the growth of the weeds in the neighboring rooms. Many times they were awakened by the traffic of the dead. They could hear Ursula fighting against the laws of creation to maintain the line, and José Arcadio Buendía searching for the mythical truth of the great inventions, and Fernanda praying, and Colonel Aureliano Buendía stupefying himself with the deception of war and the little gold fishes, and Aureliano II dying of solitude in the turmoil of his debauches. And then they learned that dominant obsessions can prevail against death, and they were happy again with the certainty that they would go on loving each other in their shape as apparitions long after other species of future animals would steal from the insects the paradise of misery that the insects were finally stealing from man. One Sunday, at 6 in the afternoon, Amaranta Ursula felt the pangs of childbirth. The smiling mistress of the little girls who went to bed because of hunger had her get onto the dining room table, straddled her stomach, and mistreated her with wild gallops until her cries were drowned out by the bellows of a formidable male child. Through her tears, Amaranta Ursula could see that he was one of those great Buendías, strong and willful like the José Arcadios, with the open and clairvoyant eyes of the Aurelianos, and predisposed to begin the race again from the beginning, and cleanse it of its pernicious vices and solitary calling, for he was the only one in a century who had been engendered with love. "He's a real cannibal," she said. "We'll name him Rodrigo." "No," her husband countered. "We'll name him Aureliano, and he'll win 32 wars. After cutting the umbilical cord, the midwife began to use a cloth to take off the blue grease that covered his body, as Aureliano held up a lamp. Only when they turned him on his stomach did they see that he had something more than other men, and they leaned over to examine him. It was the tail of a pig. They were not alarmed. Aureliano and Amaranta Ursula were not aware of the family precedent, nor did they remember Ursula's frightening admonitions, and the midwife pacified them with the idea that the tail could be cut off when the child got his second teeth. Then they had no time to think about it again, because Amaranta Ursula was bleeding in an uncontainable torrent. They tried to help her with applications of spiderwebs and balls of ash, but it was like trying to hold back a spring with one's hands. During the first hour, she tried to maintain her good humor. She took the frightened Aureliano by the hand and begged him not to worry, because people like her were not made to die against their will, and she exploded with laughter at the ferocious remedies of the midwife. But as Aureliano's hope abandoned him, she was becoming less visible, as if the light on her were fading away, until she sank into drowsiness. At dawn on Monday, they brought a woman who recited cauterizing prayers that were infallible for man and beast beside her bed, but Amaranta Ursula's passionate blood was insensible to any artifice that did not come from love. In the afternoon, After 24 hours of desperation, they knew that she was dead because the flow had stopped without remedies, and her profile became sharp, and the blotches on her face evaporated in a halo of alabaster